giving a talk on REST-FS and Sambar.
Yeah. Yeah, the talk is based on explain what is the REST-FS. This talk is divided in three parts. And the first part is an introduction, why we decide to brought a new file system. And the second part is describe the goals of the project, the architecture internals, and how to make the configuration and deploy. The last part is why we use Sambar, why we have an interaction with Sambar, and why Sambar is very important for us. I want to start from the word of John Tempesta, no, the chairman, and I want to read two words, very important words. One is grow, and second is rethinking. Because we start probably a new behavior of the user. We have many new devices, and all the users want to store everything, store it all, and serve it worldwide. That means, no, that you want to read your emails from your notebook, from your phone, mobile phone, probably also from TV. You want watch your movies or a serial TV everywhere. That is a, okay, is a grow, but also a change, is a new behavior of the user of the storage. Then, if we watch in the past, we can see that in the 70s we had a very simple infrastructure. In the 80s we moved to network. In the 90s we tried to improve the performance. We try to introduce a new paradigm. And today, probably, we are in a new stage. Yeah, the new stage. Probably we are in the new stage because Amazon that try a new service that introduced the concept of the service of the storage in the last 3 years that increased the grow, the famous grow of John. Then if match the grow and the new behavior, probably we are very close to the end, or better, to the beginning. That we need something new. The old type of storage based on the network probably will be dead or have to change in some way. What is the perfect solution today? Yeah, we already, we have seen yesterday, we have saw yesterday from Microsoft and many other presentation that we need security, availability, scalability, performance, and so on. The question is, which is the product? Do you have a product? Also, this morning in GPFS was said the GPFS is not a perfect solution. It's not a general file system. Then we can find many solutions, but it's in the specific area. For this reason, we start to REST-FS. The REST-FS is mainly an experiment. We don't know what is the exactly, or better, the best solution today for the service of the storage. Then we try to create an infrastructure with the many plugins that you can exchange to make some experiment on protocol, on storage, on communication, and so on. The first and most important concept was moving computation is cheaper than moving data. This is common also with Hadoop or GFS from Google. From this concept, we try to identify five areas. The first and most important area is the object. We don't need, or better, we don't think about file. We think in object mail, in an object way. The object has also an internal separation of metadata and data. Each component of the object is marked with a hash and a revision. This is very important and will be seen in the next slide. A second important thing is based more on behavior of the user. The user is everywhere and is connected by mobile or low latency, high latency network in many cases. That's in, for this user, it's very important the cache. Maintain a persistent cache on the user, speed up the performance and the usability. For this reason, we have a persistent cache on client side, and we maintain the coherence of the cache with callback notify. This is not completely true because we use sub and pub concept that come from WebSocket HTML5. Another important is the way you transmit your data. And most important today is move the data in parallel, in a special way, in a high latency network. No, because if you are synchronous and you have a high latency network, you have a slowdown of your performance. We decided to use HTTP protocol because today you have firewall everywhere. That is difficult to create a new protocol, it's difficult to identify a new port, that you have to work everywhere, and HTTP work everywhere in all the network in many cases. Also, compression is very important for the same reason of latency, because you can save a lot of bandwidth. The network divide is true, that you can reach some town that you don't have a very high-speed ADSL or network connectivity. Another important thing, probably is the second most important thing, is transfer the data by difference. You have to exchange only the difference, not the entire file. Yes, for scalability and high availability, it's very important to be distributed. We use DNS, that is probably the most famous distributed system today, for make the discovery, make the lookup of the information. And also today is very important the security, because the security is you spread your information everywhere, and you have to integrate in many systems, or you don't want to delegate some user or in special condition you won't maintain the total control. The three main, or better six, but the three main keywords on the RESTFS are cluster, is a collection, is a pool of server. Bucket is a basket of object that is very similar to S3. We have object. Inside the object, we have metadata, segment, and block. We see a little bit in detail the object. In the object, we have different metadata, some system related, like properties, ACL, and location that is a little bit difficult to me to explain now, the location, because you can spread. No, you don't have enough knowledge about RESTFS, but you can spread around the world. And other two important pieces that are segments and attributes. The data is divided in blocks. Then the metadata contains the list of the blocks. But the list is grouped by a segment. The idea that the segment comes from the idea of movies, that you want to make that prefetch of the movies. Then you can get only the segment, and you have all the information, all the piece of part of the movie that you need. That is more for the client that speed up the exchange. Also, the user can reach the information of the object that the user can set and create all the attributes that he wants. Well, what we have in the segment, we have two kind of information. One is an ID of the block, and one is the hash of the block. Then the client can retrieve all the hash of all the block. In this way, you can create the famous transfer by difference. How it works? Yeah. The first step is make a lookup of a bucket, of the basket, and the lookup of the basket is made by DNS. When you retrieve the list of the cluster that maintain information, you can connect to the service IP of the cluster, and the service IP of the cluster return the server list, that we have two level of distribution. When you have a server list, you can create a list of performance of the server that you have received. That is a combination between distance in time, that RTT time, but also the load of the server. what happened in the second step when you identify the, a preferred server or a list of server, you start to retrieve the object properties and you can retrieve the block data that you need. For each object, you can make a subscription. The subscription is you need a notify when something changed on the object. Then is a push information that you don't have to check all the time if your caching is consistent. Well, yeah. What do you have? Yes. What do you have on the client side? We have a lot of information. You have a server list with the priority and the performance. That in this way you can make a load balancing, but also you can reconnect the next server and so on. You have a token for federated with different system. You have a pub subscribe list of all the objects in the cache, and you have a persistent cache with the metadata and block that you have read or write in a certain amount of time. The composition of the server, I already said that we try to create a collection of plugins, elements that can be exchanged or upgraded or extended. We have a front end with S3 interface, also a REST RPC interface. We have authentication interface and a resource locator, the famous service. We have a second layer that we call manager that handle the authentication all and all the stuff for find and store the information. We have not really at the moment, but is planned to create a distributed cache internal on the cluster to speed up the operation. And we have a set of drivers to the storage of each system. What technology we decide to use at the moment? For the storage, yeah, for experiment, for make simple tests, we use a local file system, but we have also a distributed hash table based on Kademlia. Then we use a storage on Kademlia because that the Kademlia protocol permit the load balancing and also distribution and high availability. The metadata, today is mostly stored in NoSQL solution, Redis, and we use as authentication OAuth. And another important thing is we use the protocol based on WebSocket. The message format is a JSON RPC 2.0 and also Amazon S3. We use encoding plain at the moment or BSON. That's the binary sound to speed up the transfer of the message. And as callback, we use subscribe publish on WebSocket channel. At the moment, we started thinking about move on more scalable solution like AMP and Q, but this is another question. We use some library for encryption. We can encrypt the communication, but also the information stored by the user. Why we use Redis? From some tests, we can handle at least 60,000 connections for 60,000 operations per second. This is only metadata operation. This is not our overall operation. This is not a of the cell. This is only metadata, probably the half of the operation that you need. And if you, this is operation, this is values, is only for one server. If you have more than one server, you can multiply the average. The Redis also has, very soon, a multi-master solution that we don't care about high availability of metadata storage. Redis is also, in the Redis, is also possible to make us publish and subscribe, that the combination between Tornado, a Python web server, a synchronous web service that already implement a WebSocket interface, you can create a channel for subscribe and publish. That is quite free. Yeah, the Kademlia, we use Kademlia because it's simple at the moment. I think we move in probably Core or some more sophisticated algorithm for mixed distribution on our distributed hash table. Now, you have the content. Each content, we create a unique key and distribute this key on DHT. And the DHT, all time, the master of DHT receive the content, spread the content on the node before and after. Then we have replication of the content. This is the composition of the client. We use, at the moment, Fuse, and we connect through a Fuse interface. We have a cache service that handle all the caching operation, but if you want, you can disable and act all the time to the server. Yeah, that's the technology server side and client side is based on Python and most of the same library and technology. A small example of the power of yes, it's difficult to find the mouse. This is a client, S3 client, that I want to load a content or test file is more or less, I think, 25 bytes. I create a new one. Give me a second. Try a new. Same file now is this will be bigger, 60 megabytes. Okay, that's done. But unfortunately, you don't see because the Windows is over there. Okay, yeah, it's my error. I reload, I create a new bucket. I don't want to create a bucket, but it's a little bit difficult. This speed is not bad. Yeah, because we use the same technology of the client on the server. That means we receive all the data, we start to create a hash table, and we create the hash, and we check if the contents already exist. Then now we can transfer probably at the speed of 50 megabytes per second with a single channel. But the interesting thing now, I change the file, I put some chart at the hand. Yeah, I change the file then. Okay. Then I reload the file. Yes. Yeah, you can see, but this change of 500 bytes. We reload the file. I want to overwrite. Yeah, it's failed. Isn't nice. Anyway, I want to show that the transfer that takes a short amount of time. That if you have a very large file and you change only a few megabytes in each part of your file, you transfer only the piece. And the important thing is each object can decide the size of the block. It's not a server configuration, but it's an object configuration. Also, the size of the segment is an object configuration. Then if you have a large file, you can decide to use large block. If you have a small file, you can decide to use small block, and so on. That is a little bit adaptation. Well, yeah, not very successful example. I don't want to show another small things. Yes. Yeah, this is a command line, in special way for make a operation and test the RPC communication. I want to show what is the protocol. No, this is the request. No, we have a JSON with all information, and we have some ID. and hash table. In this case, is a transaction. In this case, a transaction operation, and this is the result. In this case, we don't have entry in the bucket that I asked. But you can understand that this kind of protocol is very simple to handle in each language that you want. That you can implement in all the language. We are not a specific language that you can create and handle what in the way that you want. In special way, with the WebSocket, you can create a HTML5 page that can retrieve the information directly from the file system without create an application for that. Okay. Yes. Yet, the usage of RESTFS, you can use as a home directory, and you have home directory everywhere, and remote disk, because you are HTTP protocol. You can use also in application. The application can write and store object and reach the object with the information that they need. Shared space between many different machines. And very useful in the virtual machine in the future, because we have the concept of clone, that you can clone an image, and when you start a new image, we start to write only the difference. That in the starting point, you clone with time zero without copy any blocks, and we start to write the block when you start to make the difference on your new image. Distribution, CDN, multimedia, media file, because it's with the advantages of segments, data replication, and disaster recovery. Yeah, I hope you are not so bored by that. That's the Samba. Why we decide to use Samba, because it's a simple way to reach the client. Each client use Windows, or most of them, and create a VFS or create anyway a driver inside the Windows is not so simple. I already know the experience of OpenFS that was a mess, and you fight with a lot of problems. That the best solution is to keep away, to stay away from this kind of implementation, and use a proxy, a Samba proxy, to make the communication between the client and your file system. This is more or less at the moment. You don't have to deploy nothing. You don't have to care about the user. The user don't have to care about the usage of the file system. The first solution is quite simple. It's more or less similar of last year on S3. The interface is based on Fuse. Then we can export the file system with Samba, because it's a simple directory. At the moment, you can export one bucket per share, and you don't have problem with SCL when you use internal SCL of Samba, because we store as an attribute or a file. At the moment, we don't have locks, or better, we still thinking on it. We have some solution, but we don't have locks at the moment. Then you have to handle the locks on the Samba side. The second solution is more experimental. We try to be more efficient on with Samba. Then we started with VFX, a whole project that creates a transparent VFS module that intercepts all the call and returns transparent as a result. In this way, we can intercept and understand what's changed. This solution started because we need to create a disaster recovery site. And how it works, you open the socket, we work through a Unix socket. That means we don't have nothing inside of module or of a Samba process. We talk with the RESTFS through a Unix socket, then we open a Unix socket, or rather intercept the call, we open a Unix socket, and we send the message to the socket. Yeah, the configuration of Samba is very simple, because it's a normal VFS object. And on the other side, you can use, we use Python at the moment, because it's very fast for prototyping. that you have to read the socket. You have to connect and read the socket. The message format, we use the original message format from VFS6, that is user operation, original path, and a set of arguments that depends of the call that you are intercepted. Yeah, this is a more or less the situation. We have two modes of intercept. The problem intercept and make the replication to another side is a big problem, because you don't have the same speed that you have to collect the change and send the change in a low bandwidth or on network. Then the first solution is, okay, all the attributes we map with the attribute of REST FS, and we don't have problem. The problem is on the data. The first data is insert information in a queue, but we insert only the map. We insert the reference of how many bytes is changed and where this byte is changed. And the operation is replicated by a synchronous daemon. The second mode is make the copy of the data. That means you have two times. You have to write two times on the same disk, because one is on the file and one is on the block that you use to send on the replica server. Both solution is not perfect. That's probably we have to make a something that is a mix between the two solutions, probably is the best. But at the moment, still have many other problems, like the starting point, the init phase, how to understand the local drive is in sync with the remote drive. Because your information remain on your file system. We don't touch the information on your file system. That intercept the change, but we want only intercept the change that's sent to another side. Then the first thing is to understand if you are in sync with the other side, with your disaster recovery side. One possibility made from the mode one is send all the information on the hand when you close the file, then you have collect all the information, all the changes, send the change when you close the file. That means the client will have to wait the time for send information to the remote server. This is depend on which level of security of replication do you want. Bandwidth, that probably you use bandwidth for many other activities, and probably you don't want use all the bandwidth only for replication. In special way, not local bandwidth, but internet connection bandwidth if you have an internet connection to reach your disaster recovery site. Another problem is, if you want more than one replica, that you have more than one site, and you have to replicate this information more than one site. And also, how and when to run sanity check that everything is okay and all the information that you are transferring is corrected. Because we have the hash, then we check, make some check every month or every week to all the information, and all the data are stored in correct way. At the moment, we have two mainstream. One is send all the information when you close the file, and one to keep the information what is changed and then read in a separate asynchronous process. This is the two. The big advantage, you have a transparent proxy that can create for you a disaster recovery, and you are more or less quite secure. Yeah, that's the main question probably could be what the difference between this solution and DRDB. That's in many cases DRDB today is better, because you transfer the block without problem, is a stable solution. We are more efficient in the bandwidth and different transmission. Yeah, the status of the project. Today we have a 0.1. We are very close to 0.2. that we'll be releasing this month. And for the next, we have a lot of functions that we design, but we don't have in the code now, especially with the versioning. We have some code for versioning because we have a version, we have a code, a version for each element that is very simple to create a revision on each element that you store in the bucket. Yeah, the future, we are not sure the future, that is a good idea to continue to work on the distributed hash table or to create, to be an aggregation of different type of storage system. That's, for example, you can buy a lot of storage array network or disk and so on, and RESTFS could be an aggregator of the space. Another big problem is when you divide the data in block and put the block on distributed hash table, you really don't know how many space you are free, because we reuse the block. We never delay the block. We always rewrite the block. If you don't need enough block, we create a new one. But we never delay the block. This is could be a problem. Yeah, probably you didn't see, but yeah, the button is for this reason. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.